says that those that belong to Christ Jesus crucified their flesh along with their passions and their evil desires, which are the birthplace of the passions. This, according to St. Paul, defines spiritual life. St. Ignatius, Apostolic Father, spiritual child of St. John the Divine, St. Ignatius of Antioch, and a great martyr of the Church, writes in one of his letters, "Stay in Christ Jesus spiritually and with your body. There is no separation between flesh and spirit." Today, many of the evangelical churches, the Lutheran churches, and we see these articles in the newspaper constantly about a task force that came up with a 21-page report, and this supposedly spiritual task force, amongst other things, discovers that masturbation, I'm sorry for offending your ears, but masturbation is healthy. The Bible may support some homosexual unions and teaching teens how to use condoms to prevent disease is a moral imperative. My friends, these teachings come from hell's deepest dungeons. I will remind you the visitation of Abraham by the three angels, who was the Holy Trinity, in the form of the Holy Trinity. One of the persons of the Holy Trinity, presumably the Father, says, "Let's go and check this human perversion. Let's go see what is this that is reaching all the way to heaven." This wants to show that the Holy Trinity was shocked by this human perversion of homosexuality. God the Father stays at the higher place with Abraham and sends the other two persons to visit Sodom and Gomorrah to save the faithful who happens to be Lot and his family, and to destroy the rest of the people. This very vivid historical picture symbolizes the action of the Holy Trinity in our world. The Father wants to save us, and He sends His Son to visit us and to teach us to walk like Him, to live like Him, so we can resurrect like Him and ascend like Him. He finished His work. He left us His body and blood to nourish us, and He sent the third person of the Holy Spirit to guide and work out our salvation in the Church. So salvation is from the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity, which is one in essence. Homosexuality, premarital sex, fornication, adultery, masturbation are very serious sins that totally separate us from God. St. Paul specifically says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, that people that practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. When a sin of this nature is performed by the body is somehow stamped with an indelible stamp, a specific stamp, and this stamp makes the body incapable to resurrect for the kingdom. The body will resurrect, but will be condemned to hell. Only through repentance and holy confession, this stamp can be erased. And we have so many examples in our holy faith, the examples of Saint Mary the Egyptian and so many other saints that give us the beauty of our faith, that yes, we can be saved even if we are the worst sinners. All we need to do is repent. In paradise, there will be many, many, many sinners that repented. No one unrepented will enter paradise, and this is the teaching of the Church. And Holy Father Saint Ignatius continues, "A spiritual person must be thoroughly drenched with the Holy Spirit, fermented by the Holy Spirit. A spiritual person is the person who lives a life constantly laboring and striving to attract the Holy Spirit of God. Saint Seraphim of Sarov says that the purpose of our life is the acquisition of the Holy Spirit. Also, we must have constant memory of God, constant watchfulness and guarding of ourselves and our senses, and guarding of our news or our thoughts. This concept of nipsis, spiritual watchfulness, which can be achieved by noetic or noera prosephi, noetic prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. This is the concept that can purify our heart. The person who is beginning the unseen warfare, he is the person who enlisted himself in Christ, in Christ's army, to fight all evil thoughts and all evil desires. Once again, this process is called nipsis by the fathers of the Philokalia, who specialized and perfected this process, this warfare against the devil. Without this method, we will not purify our hearts. And without a pure heart, no one can see God. To help us with this struggle, we need to study the Holy Bible often, receive the sacraments of the church, our spiritual weapons, the help of the spiritual brothers, and of course, the ever so important guidance of our spiritual father, who also believes in these matters. This method of nipsis will solidify us in our faith and will fulfill our understanding with constant training. We will learn to paralyze the works of the devil, who is eager to devour us. We must learn to use this process. Every sin that we committed and continue to commit starts out as a simple thought or a desire. Eve accepted an initial temptation from the devil. She persisted in the dialogue. She agreed with the thought and finally carried out the sin. So we have three stages that take place before the actual sin: the seduction, the dialogue, and the agreement. And this can be true in any situation, in any type of sinful situation. We first have the sinful thought, the thought comes in. Then we begin to think this out, rationalize it in our mind, and this is the dialogue part. And then we justify it. We simply justify it in our minds, and this is the part of the agreement, and the only thing that's left is to carry out the sin. No, we cannot control the thoughts that come into our minds. That's true. However, it's what we do with these thoughts that counts. If we begin to think these thoughts out and begin to work it in our minds, then we will certainly have a problem and fall to sin. Well, as Father Paisios of Holy Mountain says, thoughts are like airplanes. They fly over us all the time. We hear the noise. However, they are not going to land next to us if there's no airport there. So, in the same way, if we have a thought, try to chase it away by the Jesus prayer. And the Holy Father says, yes, do not build an airport in your heart. In other words, don't let these thoughts stay on and on and on, because they are going to be permanently in your heart, and of course they'll lead you to sin. Again, I need to have true faith, and by accepting that only those that enter by the narrow gate will be saved, I will begin to have inside me the fear of God. I will begin to ask, what does God expect from me? What must I do to please God? So when I begin to keep God's commandments, I will begin to purify my heart. I will begin to develop all the virtues which will lead me to the true love of God. There are many forms of love that have nothing to do with God's love. Most of the time, our love is not a Christian love. It is based on selfishness and egotism. True love is the highest form of faith. We have several stages of faith. We have faith in the existence of God. We have faith in the providence of God. We have faith that performs miracles, and also a very high level of faith, the faith that leads to love. St. Paul says that if I have a faith that moves mountains, if I burn my body, if I do this, then that, but if I don't love, in other words, if my faith does not lead to works of love, if I don't have love, then I amount to nothing. So by God's grace, we are called to believe in Him. We all believe in God. We all believe in His existence. We are all called, but that is not enough. Many are called, but few are chosen. To be chosen, we must develop the spiritual life and all the virtues. People can perform miracles and will not see heaven. Our Lord says this specifically. Lord, Lord, didn't we not speak about your name in the cities? Didn't we exorcise demons? Go away from me, I do not know you. This I do not know you means that you did not live a life of the Holy Spirit. Because the fact that you perform miracles, it is not of you. It's not from you. That came from God. He said the same thing to his disciples. Do not be excited because the demons are listening to you and they're being exorcised. Just make sure that your name is written in the book of life, which means that make sure that you live a life of virtue, a life of love. The same thing with the 10 virgins. 5 of them, the unwise, they lived a life of virginity, but they did not fully develop the life of the Holy Spirit. What is a virtue? A virtue is a work for God by our own will. If someone is forcing us to fast, if someone is forcing us to go to church, if we do these things by force and not by our only free will, then these things are not virtuous. They are not to be considered as virtues. The parable of the woman that had 10 minas and she lost one has several different meanings, but it can also be applied here. She lost something of value. She realized that she lost something and she must search for it. That is the beginning. That's the beginning for us to realize that we lack something. We need something, especially today in our society. We are in need of something. And then she lit a lamp. In other words, she invited in the Holy Spirit, the light of God. But this was not enough for this woman of the parable. If she would have stopped at this point, this would not be enough. The purpose was to find this thing. So yes, the lamp, the Spirit of God came in, but she did not stop at this point. She took a broom and she started to clean things up. She began to rearrange furniture. And this is what we need to do. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit of God in our churches, but we need to rearrange our priorities. We need to begin to clean things up. Get rid of the excess rubble. And that's exactly what the lady of the parable did when she cleaned her house and looked through all the excess, all the rubble. Lo and behold, there was the thing that she lost, her 10th mina. The lady, the woman of the parable, found her treasure after she realized that something was missing. And when she realized that this thing was missing, Then she turned on a lamp. She lit a lamp. And then after that, she began to clean up her house. What a great lesson for all of us. To begin to clean the house of our heart. To begin to purify our passions. Get rid of our passions, our desires. Through the light of the Holy Spirit. And begin our catharsis, which will make us children of God. There's a story about a father who took his young son to work. They went to one of their fields, and this field had not been cultivated for years and years and years, and there were thorns and thistles and bushes very, very high. And the father told the son, "Son, stay here and begin to clean out this field." And the father went elsewhere. Later on that night, the son returned home totally exhausted and depressed. He said, "Father, I can't do this. This is going to take me years and years. There's no way I can clean out this whole field." And the father thought, "My son, listen, you don't have to clean out this entire field today. This is what I want you to do. This is your project. You're going to go to this field, and every day you are going to clean an area about the size of the bed that you sleep in every night. That's all. That's all you're going to clean." And the young man was encouraged. So he went there the next day, and he cleaned out an area equal to and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. And after a short period of time, half of the field was cleaned. And in no time, the entire field was done. My friends, we're all sinners. We have a great deal of sins. We sin constantly. However, let's not let the devil tell us that this task of purifying our heart is impossible. No, it is not. It is possible as long as we clean a little bit every day, day by day. We work with our passions that we can see, with our clear passions. And then slowly, once we get rid of the big thorns out of our lives, then slowly we will begin to clean the smaller ones, to the point where we will see and taste the beauty of Christ, who will begin to live in our hearts with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.